Well, good morning, everyone. It's so wonderful to be here today. And we're thinking about holy living and the call to holy living. But I thought it'd be really exciting to break that open a bit more. So we heard from Elena from 1 Peter. It says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy. You shall be holy, for I am holy." And this command from God to be holy as I am holy, well, it's no small thing, is it? And to be holy for I am holy is at the root of what a holy living is about. And it's not solely about doing good or nice things. So it's exciting to look at what that might mean this morning. Well, I believe that we are all called to be like God himself. Let's dwell on that a moment. All called to be like God himself. And that's to pursue holiness with all our heart and our entirety. Maybe to put it another way, to run really hard after God, to be following in the way. And it says to like put to death the deeds of flesh and righteousness, to put to aside the things that aren't about holiness. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but I find this a little bit intimidating. And I thought, great, I've got a really fantastic and challenging topic for myself this morning. But of course it's a little bit intimidating, this command, because we know that God is infinitely holy and righteous. We know that God burns with purity and power, and there is nothing and no one like God. No one is glorious, amazing, powerful, full of grace, and we've been told to be holy, like God is holy. And we know that God also hates sin and all the things that keeps us away from God and loves righteousness. And it made me think about a psalm, Psalm 1 with verse 5. It says about wickedness. "Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment." And we had a little bit about judgment in both of the readings today. "Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." And when I read that sort of thing in the psalm, I think, oh, where am I in that? But in other words, when the Lord comes to judge the earth, the wicked are not going to stand. That's fantastic. We know that. They'll be cast out because they're not holy. And we're back to what is holy. And they're not going to be able to stand before God. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave us thinking about being holy, because God is holy? Well, I think it raises kind of a critical question. How do we do that? How are we holy as God is holy? Because I want to pursue holiness. Who wants to do that here? Well, that's pretty good. I'm glad at least some of you do. And I really want to be holy and righteous. And the more you get to know me, you know that sometimes maybe I do that, and sometimes maybe I don't. And perhaps that's a lot like you are. And I do want to obey the command to be holy as I am holy. And I know that you do. But it doesn't seem so easy. So how do we do that? How do we be holy like the Lord? Well, I've thought of four ways, and I'm going to talk about them. And maybe, and hopefully, some of those will resonate with you. Well, the first one I thought about was to be as holy as God is, to be able to do holy living, is that we need to trust in Jesus alone. Trust in Jesus alone. So it's absolutely critical that we kind of start off on the right foot when it comes to obeying the commands to be holy. If we get this first part wrong, well, then everything else is not going to be easy. It's probably going to be wrong as well. So the first step in being holy as the Lord is holy and holy living is to set our hope on Jesus Christ alone. Our hope on Jesus Christ and the righteousness that Jesus provides for each one of us. And as 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Set your hope fully on the grace that we will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." It's really powerful. Set your hope fully on the grace that you will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So before Peter commands us to be holy, he reminds us to set our hope fully on Jesus Christ and the grace that will be brought to us when Christ returns. Or in other words, when it comes to being holy, the first and most important step is to trust in that righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ by faith. So In Christ, we are already holy. We are so closely united to God and Jesus that God sees us clothed in that righteousness of Jesus Christ. So that's the first step, and that's powerful and amazing. And it's only by this righteousness that we can approach the throne of grace. And it's only because Christ lived that sinless life in our place and died the death on that cross that we deserve and we can have that fellowship with God. Or it works like this, in other words. We're already objectively righteous in Jesus Christ, and nothing can change that. And that is just fantastic. However, we are called to work that out and work out what God has already worked out in us. Or in other words, God has already made us holy in Christ, and we're just called to live out that holiness. As the Lord says, be holy as I am holy, and then we can live holy lives. So if we're not, or if you're not, or I am not confident in the righteousness that we are in Christ, we're never going to be effectively able to live that holy life or pursue holy living. We need to have that belief, be rooted. Or put it another way, we obey God's law not to be loved, but because we are loved already in Christ. We are loved already in Christ. So our obedience to God, our holiness, flows out of this fact that we are already holy in Christ. And that is amazing. We pursue this subjective holiness, knowing that in Jesus we're already objectively holy. But how do we obey this command? How do we obey it, the be holy as I am holy? And I would say that is by trusting alone in the righteousness of Jesus, trusting in Jesus alone for our own righteousness. But then I thought, what's the next step then? What's the next step to being holy as God is holy? Well, I think it's to sort of contemplate, to consider, and to meditate upon this glorious holiness of God. We have to think about it, be in it, in the presence, consider. So when we think about this command, which is the root of holy living, we note that the command said, be holy as I am holy, or other translations use the word for instead of I am. So be holy for I am holy. However it's translated, the meaning is still the same. We are to be holy because God himself is holy. Or in other words, the burning, bright holiness of God should compel us to pursue the holiness within our own hearts. So we should be compelled to do that. So if we want to be holy, we must regularly consider and contemplate the holiness of God. And that means taking time out of our lives to do that. And we also need to remember that God hates sin and the things that we find difficult, but still loves us, and also loves righteousness. So we must kind of meditate, think upon, worship upon this beautiful sinlessness of God. What that means, how powerful and beautiful that is. And the more we think upon the holiness of God and all God's glories, the more beautiful it will appear to us. And the more holy we'll want to be. Because we'll want to be that beautifulness that we know God considers. And it made me think about a verse in Philippians that puts it this way. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So that helps break down the types of things we should be considering and meditating upon. And there is nothing more honourable or pure or just or lovely or commendable or excellent or worthy of praise than the holiness of God. And the more we think about these things, the more we savour the holiness of God, and the more we will desire that for ourselves and our own lives to mirror what God is like. But then how do we be holy as I am holy? So it's about meditating, delighting in, thinking deeply, praying about the glorious holiness of God. Now, my third thought, there was this verse in Peter, 1 Peter 14. Peter says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. So what does that mean? As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Well, notice that he calls us to obey as obedient children. Or in other words, our obedience is to flow out of the fact that in Christ we have this new identity. We are no longer like enemies of God. We're no longer removed from God. But we are the beloved children of our Heavenly Father. We have that kind of possession. God loves us as children. And our new identity should shape our pursuit of holiness. We do not obey to earn God's favour, but because we are his children. We're not doing it, are we? For favours and things like that. It's because we're his children. We love God our Father, and because we love him, we want to obey him. And it makes you think of that other famous piece of scripture where Jesus said to his disciples in John, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." That's what we're talking about here. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And we do love God and we do obey his commandments because we have been adopted as children of God. We have been adopted as children of God. And God, our Father, God, Abba, delights in our obedience. Or put simply, we love God and God loves us. And we obey God and our obedience delights God. Now, you know I have two children whom I love with all my heart. And because they are my children, I want them to do as I advise, do as I guide them, do as I instruct them. You could use the word obey. I would love that. And they don't become more or less of my children, whether they obey or not. I still love them. But their obedience or listening to me and my guidance, well, it does bring me joy. And it makes us better connected. And that's what's happening with God, really. That's what's happening, this example of my relationship or your relationship, or those who have children or those who've spent time with children. This example of a relationship between us as adopted children of God and our obedience is powerful when you look at it that way. So we really should seek to obey God with all our hearts because he loves us as his children. But how do we obey to be holy as I am holy? That is by regularly remembering that we are these adopted, beloved children of God and that God loves us because we are his children. And my last point. So being holy as I am holy, how do we do the holy living? Well, it's by putting sin to death. You can't not talk about sin, really, and what that really is in our lives. What does that word mean? Well, there comes a point in our pursuit of holiness and our pursuit of living in a holy way when we have to put that to death, really, and we have to realise what that means in our own lives. And we have to embrace the righteousness of Christ and to think about and meditate about what that means to be holy in God. But we need to actively think about what it is that separates us. What is the sin? What is the difficulty that stops that holiness? Well, Peter put it bluntly when he says, you also need to be holy in all your conduct. And I think when we're talking about holy living, it would have been easy just to have talked about conduct without thinking about the connections, the relationships, the meditating, and what the grace is that we already have. But it is important to acknowledge that our behaviour, our conduct, is part of what it is to be holy, the things that we do. And there's no real sort of beating around the bush on this one. We are to be holy in our conduct, our thoughts, our connections, how we speak to people, our relationships. And to put this off is to separate us from God. We need to kind of remove anger and impatience and greed and materialism and all those things that we know that separate us from God and also separate other people from God and don't bring us that deep joy that is holy living. And it's not helping us to follow in that righteousness. As it says in Colossians, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, whether that's sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil, desire, covetousness, idolatry, on account of the wrath of God is coming. But it's really about the fact that we are separate from God when we are focusing on those things. And we're not focusing on what it is to be holy in ourselves because we are holy, because God is holy. So if we want to obey the command, be holy as I am holy, we need to put to death these things, these earthly things, these things that separate us. We must live as kind of citizens of heaven, here and now, not wait for that to come. Because we're really called by the Spirit. We're called by the Spirit. We're called to live and walk in the Spirit and put off these sinful desires and deeds. And we can meditate in our own hearts about what that might be and spend time putting that to God and asking God how we can remove those blocks to being righteousness and living in holiness. So today I kind of exhort you, I say to you, I think we need to run hard after God in scripture, in prayer, in our connect groups, in our fellowships, in our relationships. We need to run hard after God. We need to think about our conduct. Can you see that we are Christians by the way we behave, by the people we encounter? How are we helping people see God in us and that that is powerful and beautiful and attractive? How are we doing that? How are we in our holy living? Because holiness is a beautiful thing. God is the most glorious, beautiful being in the universe and is infinitely holy. So when we pursue holiness, we become more beautiful in God's eyes. This doesn't mean that he loves us more. It simply means that God delights in us as we become more like him. And as we become more like him, we can delight more in our own lives. So run hard after God. Pursue God with all your might. And pursue the beautiful beauty of holiness and the contentment and connection that holy living brings.